Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners this first Sunday in Advent. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
It's the Advent season. Those four Sundays before Christmas where God's Word prepares us to celebrate His coming to the world in the person of Jesus Christ. It's an old story, but it never grows old for the Christian because it brings hope, joy, comfort, and peace. About 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is one of the Advent texts that the Church has used for hundreds of years, and it is a portion of Scripture that we will use during this holy season of the year, that the Holy Spirit might come into our hearts, and we might say, "He is my Wonderful Counselor, He is my God, He is my Everlasting Father, and He alone brings me peace." As the Notes in My Life Application Study Bible says, the Lord may not always take us around our troubles, but if we will follow Him wholeheartedly, He will lead us safely through them. Let us pray that God will make these words living in our soul and that we may share them with those people who have yet to meet Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, take these inspired words, first spoken by the prophet, and lift us above the trivia of a typical Christmas celebration to see what our Heavenly Father was doing in history to provide for our salvation. Help us to understand that outside of Christ, we live in spiritual darkness, no matter how enlightened we think ourselves to be. If this can be our experience, then truly we will have celebrated Christmas. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ. The land where Jesus grew up and had his ministry was once called Zebulun and Naphtali. It was a territory that had had a lot of war. The Assyrians had come in there and had beaten up the Israelites real bad and then had taken them off into exile. That part of that little world was known as a land of gloom and doom. There was really very little that brought a lot of hope to the people who lived there. You could ask the question, well, didn't they have their religion? Yes, they did. And many of them were very faithful to it. They found their way to the place of worship on the Lord's Day. And there their meditation was primarily in the law of God. Not only the moral law, as we know it, the Ten Commandments, but a lot of ceremonial laws, telling them what they could do and what they couldn't do in the most detailed matters of life. But that really didn't offer a lot of comfort. They brought their sacrifices on the appointed day. That perhaps brought a little more comfort because then they realized that they had made a sacrifice for their sin. But for those who would listen very carefully, God had left them a voice, and it was the voice of the prophet. The prophet was the one who was telling them that better days were going to be ahead. For the Messiah was coming, the one who was going to lift them out of their terrible situation and make them members of another kingdom, the kingdom of God. They were pointing to Jesus Christ. It is interesting to notice that while some of it is very vague and they have to let history unfold these prophetic messages, some of the accounts were very much in detail. For example, it said that when this Messiah came, he was going to be born of a virgin. And that's exactly what happened when Mary gave birth to Jesus in Bethlehem. It said that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, and that's where he was born. And then later on, it goes on to say that he's going to grow up, and as he grows up, he is going to be wounded for our transgressions. He's going to be bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace will be upon him, and with his stripes we are going to be healed. In other words, it is pointing to this, that Messiah who is coming is going to take our sins upon him, and they will be atoned for so that if we will but trust in him, then our sins will be taken away, and we will live with God forever and ever. Well, that's the way the prophets dealt with it. And so during this Advent season, I'm going to take just one of the prophecies that comes from the 9th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. And we're going to spend some time on the names of Jesus. Listen as I read this to you once again. Isaiah 9, beginning with verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of this increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Would you stop right here with me and look at this word, and he is going to be called the Wonderful Counselor. Oh, how we as people living in darkness, at least spiritually speaking, need a counselor. There are many who will counsel us as far as salvation is concerned. But the one true counsel comes from none other than the one whose birth we now soon will celebrate, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You recall in the Christmas gospel, according to St. Matthew, the angel comes to Joseph. And Joseph is reluctant about this whole matter of taking Mary, his wife. He doesn't know what to do. He knows that he has not had any intimate relationships with her. And yet she is with child. And then the angel says to Joseph, don't be afraid, for that which is born in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a child, and you're going to call his name Jesus, and he is going to save his people from their sins. But what in the world did that mean? He was going to save his people from their sins. What is this? Is there a life after death? Is that really something here that that child is going to have a part in my salvation? That was a question that was around for a long time. And Jesus grew up and became a mighty teacher. And he began to explain it to them, and it's been explained for 2,000 years in the history of the church, and the question is still around. Is he really my Savior in that sense of the word? You recall how he was a counselor, a wonderful counselor, to a person who came to him one day by the name of Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a leader in the church. He was a part of the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee. And at night he came and he said to him, Rabbi, I'd like to talk to you about salvation. How do you enter into this relationship with God? He had all kinds of questions. He sat in darkness, even though he was a leader in the church. And then Jesus turned around and said to him, Zacchaeus, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. In other words, there's got to be a new birth. We have been born once. We have been born with the flesh. But we must be born again. That is, we must enter into the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and by grace, through faith in him, trust him as our Savior and our Lord. When that has taken place, then there is a new birth, and then we are restored into fellowship with God to live with him forever. That was a counsel that he was giving to that great man of his day, Nicodemus. But what did that mean? That was not the kind of a Messiah that they were expecting. They thought that there was going to be a Messiah who would come, and this Messiah would take Israel and build it into a great kingdom again. And it would be of the type that they had during the days of King David. Now it's a spiritual kingdom. The counsel is, friend, that when we come to faith in Christ Jesus, we enter into his kingdom. And there we live with him forever. People keep wondering about this today. It is still with us. We live in the darkness. We know a lot of things about life. I'm amazed at all of the information that we have. But when it comes to the spiritual matters of life, one can also become amazed how in darkness we really are. That's the counselor. That's the one who is coming, the Lord Jesus, to be our counselor, to lead us and to guide us so that we know that we are the children of God, so that we can know, for example, that if we should die today, we would go to heaven to be with God. But his counseling goes also into matters that pertain to this life. For example, is it not true that we often sit in darkness when it comes to the matter of our relationship with people? Jesus has something to say to us. Maybe in this Advent season, when you and I should be busy celebrating, there are things between us and another person. Here comes Jesus, the mighty counselor, as he speaks in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. In other words, if you're even in church, isn't that interesting that it could be church people? And there you realize that there's something between me and another person. The mighty counselor, the one who was born in Bethlehem's manger, is now saying, look, you better get that straightened out. Because when there's something between you and that person, there's something between you and me. And we can't have it that way. That's counseling. God, in another part of the scriptures, used the Apostle Paul to quote from the Old Testament. But Paul is now laying emphasis on vengeance. You know, this idea that I'm going to retaliate. He did this to me. I'm going to do that to him. No, Paul says, if you are a Christian, if you live in fellowship with God Almighty through faith in Jesus Christ, Then remember this. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. The babe who grew up to be our counselor wants us to know this. Has it not been proven true? If you go back over that Christmas story, and we know it quite well because we have heard it many a time, we know that in Herod's heart, there was a lot of vengeance. And when he heard, for example, that there was a child who was going to be born, and they had said of that child that he was going to be the king of the Jews, Herod became very, very angry. And he thought, well, I got to get this out of the way, for we want the kingdom to continue in our own family with my children and so forth. It's a good deal for us. And so when he was misled by the wise men, if you recall that story, and if you don't, you can read it in Matthew 2, he became very angry. He had told those wise men, you go and see where Jesus is, and when you have seen him and worshipped him, then you come back, because I want to go there too and worship him. Well, when the wise men were warned in a dream that they were not to return to Herod because he would have the child killed, he became angry. And here's vengeance. I tell you what I'll do. I'll slaughter all boys 2 years and younger in and around Bethlehem. What a terrible way to do it. What vengeance. You do me wrong, and I will really do you wrong. Now, in this Advent season, if we really want to celebrate Christmas, we really can't do that, can we, people? If there is something between us and another person, isn't it time for us to say, I'm going to bury the hatchet? If there has to be any vengeance along this line, then I am going to let God take care of that. That's what it is to be the mighty counselor. That's the way that he counsels us. Now, let's take one more, shall we? Here Jesus is counseling through his preaching. It is a Sermon on the Mount. And people in those days were wondering about values. They worried as we worry today. And so one day Jesus said to them, look, not one bird falls to the ground, but what your heavenly Father knows about it. You're of much more value than a bird. And then he gives them a good, good bit of information. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Isn't that a great message? That we seek first the kingdom of God. All of these things that we think we need are secondary to those that we really need. What we really need is to be in a living, dynamic relationship with Christ. That comes first. It doesn't mean that we are to be indifferent to the other things that we might need while we're here on this earth or that we think we need. But these material things, they're not take first place. They are to be put in their right place, the kingdom of God first, and then all these other things. I think of it as far as our young people are concerned, many of them who are trying to decide what they want to do with life. Maybe there are some of those young people who are going to be talking to you about such matters as this, during this Christmas season, as you're gathered together as a family, why not say, well, you know, the counselor, the Lord Jesus himself has said, he's got a word for us. Seek first the kingdom of God. Oh, we know you want to be successful. We know you'd like to have a little extra money and all the rest, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But make sure that you ask the Lord where he really wants you in his kingdom. And then as we grow older, that doesn't change too much. As we begin to be almost overwhelmed with where we can go and the things that we can acquire. To remember, when is enough enough? God says, don't you think that maybe your focus ought to be on the kingdom of God too? And what happens there? Bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people. Our relationship with the Lord needs to have first priority. That's what the counselor is telling us. Yes, he's a wonderful counselor for all times. And I think that we have to deal with this as far as our nation is concerned. What a message this is for the United States of America. For we do sit sometimes in darkness, do we not? We do not know which way to turn, always. But here's a God who's saying, I'm going to help you. But it is also for the individual. And that's the way that God gets to any nation, is through the individuals. That we begin to understand that Christ has got to be heard. That God's word has got to become the source of our authority. Or we are in bad shape. As we approach the Christmas season, and it's always an emotional one, there is much joy in our hearts. Your plans are already being made, though we have not yet even entered into December. Where is the family going to gather? Isn't that marvelous? What are we going to do when we get together? And the gifts and all the rest that goes along with it. But along with all of that joy, I wonder if it isn't true that sometimes there is a great deal of sadness. Just stop and let your mind go. Don't you see some sadness in this world of which you are a part, your little world? If it's not in your own life or in the life of your family, thank God, but you don't have to look very far, do you? And here you see you need the counselor. There is darkness. There is, for example, a family where you're saying it isn't really like Christmas this year. Terrible things have happened in our family. It could be that there was a divorce that took place and it just shatters the whole spirit of what you had been used to, or someone had died. And now you were alone. Maybe it's the bad news of some illness that is not good. Maybe it's a child that's gone astray, or whatever it may be. We don't have to look very far. And this Christmas is going to be just a little bit different. And you're asking yourself, how do I get through it? What am I going to do? Well, here's a word, and the word that is good for us to hear. You have a mighty counselor. In his word, he will guide and direct you. Read it. Get someone to help you to know where to turn. For there you will find answers to some big questions. In the footnotes of my study Bible, there are these words. God will not always take us around our troubles, but if we will follow him wholeheartedly, he will lead us safely through them. May that be our first lesson as we begin the Advent season. Amen.
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy king. Amen.
God has spoken to you through this program today. Would you invite a relative or a friend to listen next Sunday? We'd appreciate that. Let us close with prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming to earth and being our Savior. Truly, you alone are the light this spiritual darkened world needs. Bring comfort, peace, and your saving grace to those whose souls are filled with fear and loneliness. This we ask in your holy name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. We praise God for His provision and thank our faithful listeners for your gifts and prayers necessary to make this ministry a reality. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts and prayers of our listening family. Each gift helps us proclaim the gospel message. We thank our listeners for your generous support. For your convenience, we are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 41 years.